here we started. We're going to continue into the Kenyan, I think it's Kenyan Lamed Ches, of Machril Kavschus, is Dana Kavschus, okay? We're discussing Dana Kavschus. And until now, basically, we were discussing the concept of being Dana Kavschus. That's what we were discussing last week. Now we're going to go further in. And we're going to see a little bit more of Dana Kavschus. And from there, we're going to hit a whole new level of Dana Kavschus. Paul, you ready?
I'm ready.
For new level?
I'm ready.
Let's take it to a new level. We're going to learn a Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos brings three stories of the Anakaskos, and they're crazy. It's like, you know, we can't imagine that how far a person could go down Kavschus. And remember, we explained there's only down Kavschus if it makes sense, is probably what it is. In other words, if I know it's Sad Gomer, it doesn't make any sense. So you have to get your mind warped to be able to figure out what happened. There's a, he brings over here, and I heard this many times from the Alter from Kelm. This is beautiful. This is something you're gonna like, and I like it. Everything Hashem created for a purpose, right? Everything prepared. Now Hashem created every midah that we have it for a purpose. You know, I'm saying a midah of gaiva, you have to know sometimes you have to act chashiv because you're the one of the princes of Hashem, and therefore you have to act like it. You have to ask with authority sometimes if you're in that position. If you have to be angry at people going against the Ratzon Hashem. All midahs. What in the world did Hashem create? A kruma seichel, someone with a warped mind. Why is it this? There's some people that can't think straight, right? Or sometimes people say things.
Doesn't he create that person? Created it from himself.
I understand, but what? So there's some people that. I don't mean some people. We all have in with us sometimes that we just
born dumb.
What are you talking about?
That's in denial about something.
No, it's just not. You're not saying straight. It doesn't make sense. Well, think about it. You shouldn't be saying that. Answers the ultimate calm that every midah we need, even that midah. We need that midah when you're trying to be down the kavschus. Sometimes you need imagination. Now we're going to hear some stories like this. And remember, we're talking over here about chashuv people. This is a story of a chashuv person. I think there's a Tosefta that the story is said about Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was the worker. And Lezban Horkinus, but it says Horkinus' son. I think Lezban Horkinus was known as a very, very, very rich person in that time, from the richest people, or whatever. It was someone, one of the very rich Tanaim was the employer. Says the Gemara. I'm going to read the Gemara. I'll try to go quickly. Tana Rabbanan, a famous Gemara. Hadon chaver l'kaschus. Donin oisay l'schus, we also judge him l'schus. Someone who acts that way, then we also that way. In other words, for some reason it goes that way. If when I see guys do something wrong, I think about him. Or for someone who I should be down the kaschus, I'm down the kaschus. So when I do something that looks a little wishy washy, they're going to be down me the kaschus. What does that mean? So my answer to the story, but Adam Echad, one person, Shiyorin me Gol Helion, came down from Gol all the way up down, and he went down, I guess it came down to the middle of country, and Venisco Isabelabais, he started working for Abayabais Echabadurim in the south. Sholish Shunim, you hear? 3 years straight he worked for him. So Gemara. So Erev Yom Kippur, he decided, Erev Yom Kippur, I'm going home for Yontif. I'm leaving Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is a time where people are supposed to be honest, right? So, Omar Lord, Ten Litzchari, okay, payday. I want my money. Ve'elech, and I'll go, Ve'ezun is Ishti is money, and I'm going to give food to my wife and kids. You know, they've been 3 years starving, waiting for me to make money and come home and have some food for Yontif. Give me money. So tell me, sorry, if Eilach and I go for Ezin is Ishtu Yivanai. Amaloi, Ainly, I don't have money, Ainly must have no money. So he said, Amaloi, Tainly Paris. So, okay, so give me fruit instead. Give me a basket of fruit or a whole bunch of fruit for 3 years worth of work. Amaloi, Ainly. Now, this is obviously he's a rich person. He sees the fruit there, doesn't he? Tainly Karka, give me land. Ainly. Tainly Behema, give me animals. Ainly. Tainly Karma Accessories. Okay, give me stuff in your house. Give me your pillows and your blankets. Just give me something. That I could bring food, I could sell it and bring money home so I could have food for my kids. Ainly. Okay. Doesn't have Hifshal Caleb, he took his stuff, Lachor, he put it over his back. He went to his house, Pacha Nefesh was upset. Doesn't, you know, after 3 years, imagine that. Working for 3 years away from wife and kids, come back with nothing. Lachar regal after Yontif. What happened after Yontif? Notel Bal Habayis Schori. The Bal Habayis took Schori Biyadai. He took his, the $100,000 he owed him for the 3 years. The Imayim with him, he took Masuri, he took a load of 3 Gimel Chamarim, Echon Machal, three loadfuls of donkey, three donkeys full of stuff, of merchandise. One is Echon Machal, one's food, the Echon Mishta, one's drink. That's a lot of wine. The Echad Shalmine Megadim, and then also another one of just goodies, good stuff. The Halach Lali Beis was his house, and then they had a big meal. Achash Achlo V'Shase, they ate and they drank with all the good stuff that he gave, and he left the rest in the house. Nosan Leschori gave him his money. Amaloi said to him, "Bishra, this is so." I remember hearing from someone. I don't remember from who. That there was a Tosefta supposedly says this is Rabbi Kiva before he became a Talmud Chacham. So it's a. You'll explain that if you want. He was a. This is. It goes into the fact that they said that his wife Rachel see in him. He saw he had good midas. So we'll see how his midas are good. That's how, I remember hearing the Shmuz that way. I didn't see the Tosefta. I don't remember who said it. B'shosh Amartili. Says Gemara. B'shosh Amartili. What he said to me. Tenli Schori. Give me money. V'amarti Enli Mois. What do you think? Amarti Shema Prakmati B'zul Nizdamelo. Maybe someone came with like real cheap stuff, and you have to and you gave away all your money. And he gave all your money. You just don't have any cash. Okay, so give me your animals. Well, I know it's good. Paris. Okay, yeah, good cash. Ten the behema v'martila ainly behema. He said, "I don't have any behemas." Machashene Marti Shem Muskars Be'alchem. You rented all your behemas out to someone else. You just don't have them. But Shoshem Marti Ten the car. Give me land. So he said, "Land." Said v'martila ainly. He said, "B'machashene." What do you think? I'm assuming Marti Shema Muskars Be'alchem. What they used to do is they gave someone else their field and they worked the field, took care of the field, and gave them a certain amount of money. So like for 3 years or for 10 years, someone was had the rights of the field, so he couldn't give it to me. B'shasha Amarti Ainly Paris, out of order. When I said I have no fruit, Amarti Shema Ainan Musaris. Maybe you didn't take Meiser, and since you didn't take Meiser, you're not allowed to give it to someone. What? Maybe. I hear. Okay. I got it. I hear you. I'm asking. B'shasha Amarti Ainly Karm Excesses. I have nothing in the house. No pillows and no blankets. So then, what do you think? B'machashteni, what do you think? Amati Shema Hikdash Kol Chasim Shemayim. Maybe you took everything you owned and you were Makdashit L'Shemayim. You said everything is Hikdash, and therefore you don't own anything, and therefore you can't pay me anything because you don't own anything. Amalai said to him, Avoida. Avoida is Lashon Shua. I swear, Kachoya. That's what happened. You know what happened? Hadarati kol nechase. I made a nether. I was makdish all my money. Bishvil Horkanus bini. Horkanus my son. Shaloi osak b'Torah. You know this guy. You know this is if you ever fall into one of these problems, they become very very rich, and then. Chas v'shalom, let's say it happened to a person. She never put it on anyone, and his kids is not learning so stark. So, you know, it's because the kids, you know, the rich kids, some of you always say, it's the rich kids, they think they can have everything and whatever. One day my father's going to die, I'm going to be a multimillionaire, I don't have to work, and I don't have to worry about anything in life, and they just do what they want. They go out and buy drugs and hang out and whatever. So, you know what he did? So, you know what he did? He said, you know that these things have happened. You've seen it happen, right? So, see, he said, all my nechasim, everything I own, makdash to Shemayim. Because, and then what happened? Afterwards, it says, "He kushavasi as a chaver b'dorim." I came to my friends, the rabbanim in b'dorim. So hitiru nedir. They were matar my nether. Now they were matar my nether. So I have a lot of money. I have all kinds of stuff. So I brought you my stuff. Now this is the part that I want to talk about. And he said, "Kishem shadanti l'schus." You were dan me l'kav schus. Hamokum yodin oisol l'schus. Hashem should judge you l'schus. Now, he discusses this here. What does that come from? What does it mean? Hashem should judge me. What does it mean Hashem should judge me? Hashem knows every single thing about me. What does it mean Hashem's going to judge me to Tzchus? Hashem knows if I'm doing it right, if I'm doing it wrong.
Rachmanis.
What does it mean Rachmanis? No, no. You see, it's not Dan Lekav Tzchus. Hashem should have Rachmanis. But what I'm saying, Dan Lekav Tzchus means, I don't know if you're really eating a ham Shabbos or you're not eating a ham Shabbos. I don't know if you're being Mechal Shabbos.
Just like you were lenient when you were judging other people, Hashem should be lenient
on you. What do you mean lenient? Not lenient. Hashem knows what I was doing. It doesn't pass by it.
Even though Hashem knows.
Are we saying that truly Peshat that I don't know? Or are we saying that?
In this case, it wasn't clear.
General,
no, in this case, we're talking about a tzaddik. The employer, the boss was a tzaddik. And it's pashut that he would pay if he can. But, you know, there's a limit that I have to be Dan Lekav Tzchus. This is crazy. My mind doesn't have to be so crazy.
Classic example of Dan Lekav Tzchus, let's say I see a guy in a bad place. He is in the wrong place. I have to be Dan him why he's
right,
there.
Right.
So Hashem should be
doing something wrong. The Hashem sees that we're doing something wrong. That means we should be Dan.
No, but I'm saying Hashem knows what my motive is.
Still.
There's no concept of Dan Lekav Tzchus. Hashem knows that the reason. You can fool your Rebbe, you can fool yourself. You can't fool God. It doesn't work.
Because of what you did.
No. He's winning the whole punchline. We're gonna get there. Next maysa. But that's a very big chiddush. It's not pashup shot. That's far from pashup shot. Talking about another maysa. Maysa. This is getting two similar maysas. Maysa b'chassid echad. It's a gemara. It's going straight in gemara. Gemara kuf chav zayin beis and chavs. Maysa b'chassid echad. Maysa with a chassid. Big talmud chacham. Shepada, he went out of his way. He went with his talmidim to do pigeon shooting. Someone captured in jail a girl, and he went and he gave the money to the guy and got the girl out. So they got a young girl, Bas Yisrael, and before they went back home, Ulamolain, and that night when they went to sleep, Hishkiva Tachas Margloisov. He had her sleep under his feet, in other words, in his room by his bed. Okay, right there. Right there. Now that's pretty spooky. The Chassid. The Chassid had this person sleep by his bed. Okay. L'macha the next day, Yorad the Taval. The next day, before he gave shir, he went to the mikvah. Because we know that someone who lives with someone at night, someone who sees carry at night, has to go to the mikvah. That's definitely Medina de Gemara. Right? Not but what people do today, we'll worry about it one day. But he went to the mikvah. That's a little fishy, if you ask me. So Amar, then he said, "Hey boys, what do you hope?" When I brought him into my room, right? There was a lot of places to go. They brought him to my room. I closed the door. I went to sleep. Like, what do you guys think? What were you chayshin me? Amarnu. So we said, you know, Amarnu. We said to each other, "Shema yesh bano talmud she'enu baduk." Maybe one of the guys you don't trust. Since you don't trust one of the guys, therefore you have to. So you have no other choice but to sleep.
Imagine around that level. Yeah?
What?
Imagine around that level.
Right. That's what the guy said about his Rebbe. That means what the guy said about his Rebbe. So then, okay, but that's all good until he went down to the mikvah. Bishoshi rati v'tavalti v'machashad tuni. Amarnu, so we said, Shema mipnei tereach haderech, because you had such a hard day to get here, you worked so hard to get here. Ira Keri, you saw Keri because you were so worn out and Keri came out of your body. So therefore you had to go to the mikvah. Nothing to do with the girl. Right? That's what we said. That was a story of Atem and you people, you tzaddikim lach. Hashem should attune lekav zchus. Hamokom yodin arzal lekav zchus. Hashem should judge you lezchus. Wow. But that's really what happened. Turn over. I have much too much to say. I'm sorry. But I know that we have to end the time because the boys. Certain things are more important. Turn over. I know you're not.
Fasting.
You mean Ma'ariv. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. The vote is getting back on top of Ma'ariv. It's not. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Pamachas, another story, a similar type of thing that they needed something about a geisha officer who happened to be a woman. They needed a big favor. and they didn't know. So all the big people were by her. You know, they needed this lady that everyone used to, all the big officers used to run after. So they needed a favor from her. The Yidden needed it. So they said, Amu mi yelech, who should go to this person? Like, come on. So Amu Rabbi Shua, I'll go. Ani yelech. It'll be me.
I'll go too.
So halacha Yeshua. Halacha Yeshua with Talmidav. They went. Kimon Shigia la Pesach Beis. When they came to her house, cholat tefillin. He took off his tefillin. You know, we know he take off tefillin. He take off tefillin because as soon as he take off his yarmulke, he take off his tefillin. Yeah, that's right. Say good. But when he was 4 hours away, he didn't want to get near the house of tefillin. V'nichas then. This is when it gets really fishy. V'no'al hadelas. He told you guys wait here, and he locks the door. I mean, come on. What would I do there? Right? This is what I want to say. I'm not even going to be able to get to what he says. I feel bad, but as they get this. Acha Shiyotza, after he went out, Yeravatel, he went to mikvah. Boom! That's like, all, no more questions. It's obvious, right? Everything's here. He went to the mikveh afterwards.
He's so makbid on halacha.
I know, all of a sudden.
And then he went out, and Vishonot Talmidav, he started teaching Torah. So V'amalehem, and he said to them, B'shosh HaChalatzi Tefillin, when I talk about Tefillin, what did you think, Machashad Amarnu Kisava, we thought, Rebbe, Kisava Rebbe, Lo Yichlesu Divrei Kedusha Makom Tumah, it's a Tumah place, you know, I'm not bringing no Kedusha there, I'm not killing my Tefillin on that Putza. Okay, B'shosh HaNalti, When I locked the door, what do you think? There's a secret as far as the government is concerned, and you don't want anyone to know. Okay, no problem. What happened? I went to go to mikvah. What do you think that? He said, Shema nitza tzinori mipia. Maybe a little spit came out of her mouth and touched you. And is tumah to a guy, and therefore you had to be taiva. Amar k'shem shedanti l'chayva, kach yadunu l'shamayim. The Hashem shall also judge us.
It's usually the opposite way. Let me just say the part.
The stories are awesome. One second, I didn't say the part. I have great stories and whatever. I know that your bellies are waiting for you. But listen, let me just say the part. Says the Maral Diskin, like a belly wants a taina. Maldison says a beautiful part. I have a whole bunch of things, you know. But I'm not going to say the stories, even though they're great. But the concept is that we know that anything that we do, people are watching you, and you never know what can happen. And I'm going to say one story because it's such an awesome story. Okay, I'm going to try to make it quick. Can I? You don't. I can say a story. Okay, I can say one story. There's a whole big long lead up to these stories. I'm going to say one story. Brings down Shlomo Shradron, who I was lucky to hear him a few times speak, as well as Levi. Also, Shlomo Shradron said a story. He used to speak. I was just happened to be this week. I was in Zechum Moshe, I'd have Mincha there, and I saw like a plaque on the wall. He spoke all the time in Zechum Moshe. He's working in Zechum Moshe, and he, you know, whatever. So he was known as he was a maggid. He said over stories. So he said over. He spoke at least once a week in Zechum Moshe, and everyone came to listen to him. In the middle of his speech, he closes his book, and he bangs on the table, and he says, "It's because of you people here in Zechum Moshe that on Rehov Yafo there's a guy that is open on Shabbos and he's in a barber shop and he shaves people with razors and it's your fault." Whoa, what's going on? He said the story is as follows, and I'll make it quick. He said, me and a friend of mine, someone told us that there's a barber shop that they use razors. That he used razor, and it's a deraisa. And he wanted stuff, so we went over there. We went once and talked to him about it. Didn't listen. He went a few weeks later, talked to him nicely, didn't listen. He went to him a third time, he got angry. And he said, "If you come back one more time, I'm going to open up on Shabbos." Whoa. It's like, the guys tell me, "Maybe if you wake me up, I'm going to go off the derech." Yeah. Okay, and I asked him, like, "What can I have?" So, and Kacham, I said, "Well, I came back one more time," and he opened up on Shabbos. And he said, "We didn't give up." Came back another time until he finally listened. He listened to me. And you know what happened? He stopped using a razor and he stopped opening on Shabbos. But then what happened? He started getting more from. And nice. And he asked him, where can I go daven? And the guy pointed to him, go to Zichron Moshe. He went to Zichron Moshe. And you know what happened in Zichron Moshe? He comes over there and asks him where the shul is. And he sees a sign on the wall. And the sign says, Osir Ledaber B'Shas HaTfila. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, and Simin this, Sif that. That's it. And they were mildavening. And he sees right over there two people. One person was changing money for someone else. And they were talking about the rate, and they were talking about this, and talking about that. And he said, finished, and that's over. I ain't doing this anymore. It's the same Shulchan Aruch that the guy told me, I'm not going to keep open on Shabbos. He says, Shulchan Aruch, you're not going to keep open on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch, you're not going to use a shaver. You're not going to use a razor. Right? And the same Shulchan Aruch says, you're not going to talk to him davening. So they don't care and I don't care. What's the difference? What? And he opened the store on Shabbos and he started using a razor. That's the story. So we don't know what people are doing. We don't realize what we're doing, you know, what people know about us, what we see, the chil Hashem that we can make, or not even that. You know the difference that you make in the other way, because people see you in the mismanage. People see that there's one good guy, and there's one good guy. Oh yeah, he can battle mismanage. I can battle mismanage, and then it's, or anything. There's hundreds and hundreds of things. So says the Maral Diskin and Eli Frankel that the pshat is a very bechidish. I don't know how you meant to say it, because to me it's a very, very bechidish. The pshat is like this: that if I'm down the kapschus, everyone, if that's what I do, I'm down the kapschus. When I see you doing something, then I think that you're probably trying to do a good thing, right? So I don't learn anything bad from anyone else. So then, when I come upstairs in Shemayim, even though there's a measure that says, and we're going to come upstairs in Shemayim, Hashem's going to say, why do you live with that Zayna? And I'm going to say, I don't know, I never saw a Zayna in my life, I don't know what you're talking about. I'd say, yeah, but because you were hanging out with that girl, so someone else saw, and they started whatever, and then because of you, that's how that guy ended up living with a Zayna. So you ended up living with a Zayna. That's what's going to happen. So that can only happen, says Meryl Diskin, that can only happen if I'm down the Kavs, if I'm not down the Kavs Chos, and I see negative in everybody else, so then people that are going to see negative in me, if they're going to see negative in me, they're going to go down, 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 down. But if I'm down people the Kavs Chos, then you had no right that I could tell Hashem when I get upstairs that you shouldn't have seen that negative in me. Don't say just because I was doing something that you learned from it. You have no right to learn from me. Hashem won't let me get punished for people learning things from me if I am not down the cup's close. That's the Meryl Diskin says, and Eli Frankel.